In early 1999, a successful Oracle executive stood at a crossroads. Mark Benioff had climbed the corporate ladder, achieved financial success, and earned respect in Silicon Valley. Yet, something felt fundamentally wrong. During a sabbatical in Hawaii, swimming with dolphins and contemplating his future, a radical vision emerged. What if business software didn't require expensive installations, complex hardware, or massive upfront costs? What if it could be delivered as simply as turning on a faucet, pay as you go, access anywhere, upgrade automatically? This wasn't just a product idea. It was a complete reimagining of how technology could serve businesses. When Benioff shared this vision with Tom Siebel, whose company dominated the customer relationship management market, Siebel dismissed it as suitable only for small players. That dismissal became fuel. What followed was a journey that would create an entirely new industry, cloud computing, and prove that revolutionary ideas often sound crazy until they become inevitable. Benioff's vision attracted Parker Harris, a brilliant developer who initially called the idea crackpot, but couldn't resist the challenge. In March 1999, Parker's team began working from a one-bedroom apartment with a closet as their server room. Their mantra, "Do it fast, simple, and right the first time," guided every decision. They focused on the 20% of features delivering 80% of the value, creating a clean, tab-based interface inspired by Amazon's simplicity. Their revolutionary approach was inviting users to test their prototype immediately. When testers reported the Create New Account button disappeared on certain monitors, the team moved it left, matching natural reading patterns. Where others mistook complexity for sophistication, they chose clarity. Larry Ellison's $2 million investment provided crucial validation, though he requested Benioff limit Oracle recruiting to 3 employees. As they grew, they moved to the Rincon Center's 8,000-square-foot space. When Parker worried it was too large for 10 employees, Benioff responded, "I like it. We're going to take it. We'll be out of here before you know it." He envisioned not the company they were, but what they would become. Within a year, they had outgrown it. From day one, Salesforce.com positioned itself as revolutionary. Their iconic no software logo, the word software in a red circle with a line through it, captured their mission. Despite internal resistance, Benioff insisted on this negative messaging because it powerfully differentiated their brand. This extended to theatrical warfare. When their launch party coincided with a Siebel conference in February 2000, they hired actors to stage a mock protest outside San Francisco's Moscone Convention Center. Protesters wielded signs reading, "The internet is really neat. Software is obsolete." When Siebel executives called police, the commotion attracted legitimate media coverage. Within 2 weeks, over 1,000 organizations signed up, far exceeding projections. Their Don't Get Bullied campaign featured a schoolboy writing lines like, "I will not give my lunch money to Siebel." When Tom Siebel predicted Salesforce.com wouldn't exist in a year, it played perfectly into their underdog strategy. Benioff crafted simple metaphors. Salesforce.com is Amazon.com meets Siebel Systems, and AppExchange is the eBay of enterprise software. These analogies made cloud computing accessible by connecting it to familiar consumer experiences. Salesforce.com shattered enterprise software conventions with $50 per user per month, paid as you go, accessible directly online. Most revolutionary was their free trial, 5 users for a year, no sales call required. Their first customer, Blue Martini Software, implemented the system in 2 weeks versus months or years for conventional solutions. Salesforce discovered their most powerful sales weapon, existing customers. City tour events seated customers alongside prospects, letting enthusiasm spread organically. With 80% conversion rates at $250 per attendee, this demolished traditional advertising returns. Their land and expand strategy started small, 80 users at ADP and 75 at Merrill Lynch, eventually scaling to thousands. This recognized a fundamental truth: trust and adoption grow organically when users genuinely love the product, not through aggressive company-wide sales pushes. Benioff envisions Salesforce.com as Amazon.com with tabs for accounts, contacts, and opportunities instead of books and CDs. While Oracle built individual software stacks per client, Salesforce designed one service managing information for all companies simultaneously. They pioneered multi-tenancy, like an apartment building, where tenants share infrastructure costs while maintaining private spaces. Customers shared IT assets like database engines and security, reducing costs while maintaining secure, personalized experiences. Though many considered it lunacy to house proprietary data on their servers, they'd insisted all customers use one version to receive automatic, continuous upgrades. When reliability issues struck in 2005, they initially went silent. During their worst outage, they made a bold decision: launch trust.salesforce.com, publicly displaying real-time service status. This transparency restored customer trust and became a powerful differentiator. Their most pivotal decision was opening their code for others to build complementary services, transforming Salesforce into a platform. This solved their biggest problem. Customers wanted more applications than they could build. They created AppExchange, an on-demand marketplace where developers uploaded applications and customers searched, reviewed, and purchased them. This marketplace transformed them from technology provider to innovation enabler, ultimately hosting over 3,000 applications and generating billions in partner revenue. Salesforce.com integrated philanthropy from inception with the 1-1-1 model: 1% of founding stock, 6 paid volunteer days annually, and 1% of profits. This vision emerged from Benioff's Oracle experience, where pursuing money and power left him unfulfilled. They filed the Salesforce Foundation simultaneously with incorporation, focusing on technology access for underserved youth. Their IPO raised over $12 million for the foundation in one day, proving pre-IPO equity commitments could drive meaningful impact. When nonprofits requested free subscriptions, their product donation program was born. By 2008, over 5,000 nonprofits across 52 countries used their donated platform. The Children's Aid Society converted from paper to electronic systems, improving data integrity. The UN World Food Program streamlined fundraising operations, feeding more people faster. Their greatest contribution was inspiring others. Google founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin adopted the model, creating Google.org, now worth over $2 billion. NetSuite, iRobot, LiveOps, and PalmOne followed, proving purpose and profit could coexist. Salesforce.com's success stemmed from unwavering commitment to purpose. Integrating philanthropy into their business model attracted passionate employees, loyal customers, and supportive partners. Their multi-tenancy model democratized enterprise-grade technology, making powerful tools accessible beyond Fortune 500 companies. Transparency became their cornerstone. The launch of trust.salesforce.com was revolutionary, providing real-time system performance data to all customers. During the 2008 financial crisis, while competitors retreated, Salesforce doubled down on R&D and customer success, proving that in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Their journey from Benioff's apartment to a billion-dollar enterprise demonstrated that purpose-driven businesses thrive. Market capitalization grew from $1.1 billion at IPO to over $200 billion. What revolutionary idea are you sitting on? What established industry could you reimagine? The future belongs to those willing to be passionate, unreasonable, and crazy enough to do things differently. Your apartment closet might just be the birthplace of the next billion-dollar revolution.